I'm sorry. I'm back. Are you there?
Yeah, yeah. I think we're on.
No.
Oh, I thought he said 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I didn't hear that part. Are we on? Oh, it's always a surprise to me, okay? Hi! This is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. And we have someone who makes my experience of God soar, and my willingness and ability to have and make and be miracles, be miraculous in the world. The beloved, beautiful, precious, dear Joanna Cherry.
Oh, thank you, Iris, for such wonderful words.
It's true. It's true.
And vice versa.
It's true and it's free.
Wow.
And I just, I thank you so much for daily and hourly your commitment to being all that you came to be on this planet and giving all you came to give, Joanna.
Mm.
It's very wonderful.
Well, it's a perfect reflection of you. It does seem like we both do that, and it is a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Well, it's much more fun than the alternative, too.
Yeah, and I really comes from tuning into our spirit and really feeling and seeing what it is we're here to do and to give and doing that. So it's great. Spirit is great.
Yeah, and today we're going to talk about focus and about being in the miraculous state and doing miracles, and we're going to share some miracles and for ourselves and others that we know, and we're going to ask if you would like to call and share a miracle, because it's you know, what you focus on, you get more of. It's like if you have a puppy and you play with it, the more playful it gets. And the more fun you have focusing on what you really want instead of what you don't want.
And yeah, and focusing on having it right here and now, on accepting it, you know, energetically and really feeling it, because then it becomes a magnet that pulls it in from the so-called outside. But it's like we are the center of our own universe, the creator of our own universe, and everything starts inside. Everything that we have outside starts inside. And so when we want something, when we choose to have something in our lives, to really feel that we have it right here and now is the greatest, most wonderful magnet to bring it in to our experience. So
yeah,
it's a great thing to learn.
You know, you've got to watch yourself on that, too, because what I've noticed is, as I've focused on what I wanted, let's just use the example of money, and I have been really, really bad at money and really, really good at money.
Yeah, me too.
And how I've learned, it, you know, I'm just tongue-tied right now. I want to just give it to you, Joanna.
Oh.
You were doing great, and I started to tell you something, and my tongue, I swear, is just wrapped in knots, and I think that this is sort of a real key, pivotal, important subject for all of us.
Yeah, well, I know that both of us from time to time have experienced ego thoughts, and all of us, I know all of us listening have too, that we start to believe in the appearances of lack, or that, you know, our bank account's in the red, or the health has gone south, and so it's like the ego is the part in us that does feel separate from God and really believes in the material stuff, in the physical stuff, in the physical world. And that's supported by, you know, all of the intellect there's just vast agreement that what is physical is what is real. And so it's an amazing, amazing mastery to transcend those thoughts of separation, which the physical world really, it's about a whole lot of different separate things, you know, I am separate from you, that's the appearance, and from my bank, and from this and that, it's all separate, you know, but in fact, we are all one amazing energetic dance in which we all reflect each other, and which the universe or life says to each and every individual, every moment of every day and night, yes, yes to what you are choosing, yes to what you want to create, yes to what you are focusing on, here it is.
Stop saying yes to me.
Yeah, so when we focus on something that, when we focus on lack and believe in it, or ill health and believe in it, and then the universe says, sure, you can have that, you're focused on it, then of course, that then you are a creator god or goddess, so that naturally is here for you. This comes forth for you, here it is. And so what we focus on is just so amazingly important. And one of the things that has gotten me down sometimes is that I know all these truths, and sometimes the ego just sort of takes over. And I believe in all these things, and I get upset about all these things. And then it's a matter of, well, I think partly accepting where I am to start with. You know, that's the wonderful Eckhart Tolle teachings and the Zen teachings and all of those things to just breathe with where we are and let things be okay. Let us accept where we are in this moment and breathe into it and be it and have it be all right. And when we do that, it kind of opens up the gates for things to change and shift where we can, and that sort of just being where we are and having everything be okay much more identifies with the reality that we are, which is spirit, you know. Which is truth, which is life and light and goodness and abundance of every kind right here and right now. And so when we are able to take the focus of thought from the ego things that would have us believe in things being bad to knowing and feeling that they actually are truly good in spirit, then spirit can't do enough, or life, or God, or goddess, or the is, or whatever we choose to call it. It's like, absolutely, all of the good is right here. And I think, I mean, I know, really, we know that life is naturally good. It's not naturally lacking. We can focus on lack, and we can create lack from that focus in any area of life. But the naturalness of life is the abundance of every good for every being, every person, every animal, every plant, everything.
And, you know, we can do such a service by focusing on that part. You know, I don't know if I shared this before when we did a show, but the Reverend Aubrey Deignan was on the show, and she talked about doing this when you give thanks for your food, saying all souls come and eat first, and then seeing everyone fed and clothed and everyone having plenty. And so in thinking about that, I saw this, I was reminded of the when Jesus went, the loaves and the fishes miracle.
Yeah.
And when he said, bring me the loaves and the fishes, and he multiplied it for the whole crowd. And so when I give thanks now, I say, multiply this 100 billion times or whatever is necessary to nurture and feed and support every life stream and life form in, upon, and above the earth. And then I visualize this huge round table, and it's the whole planet, and everyone is sitting at it, and everyone has their favorite food. And especially I love to do that when I have my favorite food and I'm really going to enjoy this, to just say, thank you, and multiply this. And then I see all the kittens having a saucer of milk, and everybody just happy. And the children that have formerly been naked with little jammies with the feet in them, and then I say, clothe, house, prosper, illumine, and fulfill, and see that every life stream and life form is honored.
Yes, you've been inspiring me to do that too. It's so wonderful.
Doesn't that feel good to do?
Yes.
And Dawn, our friend Dawn, who has the Mount Shasta magazine, recently sent me an email, and it was Audrey Hepburn's beauty secrets. And she said, if you want to lose weight, if you want to have a beautiful figure, share your food with people that don't have any. And so the day after I started doing this blessing from Reverend Aubrey, at Whole Foods, they started doing this thing where you buy a reusable bag, and it says Feed 100 on it, and that it's $29.99, and it gives 100 meals to hungry children for $29.99. So every time I buy food at Whole Foods, I get another one of those. And I just feel like it's good to be thankful for having food.
Yes.
It's good to be thankful for having food. And I feel like that came out of the collective hearts of everyone that wants everyone to be fed.
I agree.
And so let's talk about some miracles. We want to get people, we want to get all of us focusing on miracles. And especially this is useful if you're in any tight place, if you feel like there's something that couldn't possibly work out, given the reasonableness of what seems possible.
Yes.
To me, that's my definition of a miracle, is it doesn't look like it's reasonable that it could work out.
Yep. It's really
like, that's when you have to give it up to God, when you don't see any way you could solve it on your own. Isn't that a great place to come to?
Yeah, it is.
And so it's part of that, like you were talking about, the Eckhart work is to really, really accept and bless where you are and go, isn't this great how I got here and have to give it to God? It's like, I'm in a place where I got to have a miracle. And don't you always get them when you come to that place?
When you come to that place, there's just nothing that can stop it. Nothing.
Yeah. I have one. I have one. All the kids have always hung out at our house when our kids were in school and stuff. And they hung out at our house because we had a happy home. And so we always had a house full of kids, and we were always feeding them. And we had, I don't know, about 10 kids there one night, and we ordered pizza. And when it came, Sunny, our youngest one, went around and picked his favorite stuff off all the pieces of pizza. And Jerry just had a fit. My husband just yelled at him and was so mad at him for doing that. And it was like rude and crude and inconsiderate. And, you know, he was just really mad at him. And you could feel all the kids just really closed down because a lot of them had abusive families. And I'm thinking, oh, brother, it's like we're supposed to be, you know, the shining examples here and helping these kids have a different kind of life. And Gerald goes and acts just like their parents, scares the shit out of them. And then I went, okay, I want a miracle here. I want a miracle. I don't know what it is, but I want a miracle. And Jay, our older son, as soon as I did that, I said, I want a miracle. He went over, and Gerald was real embarrassed. I mean, as soon as he did it, he knew. It was like, oh, no, I messed up again. And so everybody, Jay went over and got everybody, all the kids, to go over and hug Gerald.
Oh, my gosh.
They went in a circle and hugged him. And I was telling Jay's girlfriend, and then we all had a great time.
Wow.
We all had a great time, and it was a miracle. And it was just wonderful. It was wonderful what happened. And I was still a little upset about it. And I told Jay's girlfriend, you know, just what I told you, you know, that I feel like we're, you know, setting an example here, and I can't believe Gerald did that. And she said, let me tell you what would have happened at my house. First of all, my dad would have done that, and then he would have yelled at all of us, gone in the bedroom and slammed the door and not come out for the rest of the night. That's what would have happened at my house.
Wow.
And she said, so this is a miracle. You turn everything into a miracle and open that possibility for me to have a different way.
Wow.
So it's like, you know, she made me recognize the miracle. I was thrilled that that happened, but I was still on, how could Gerald do that?
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
And so that's a miracle for me out of my life.
Uh-huh.
And so it didn't look like there was any way to save that evening, you know?
Uh-huh. Well, did you give that up then about Jerry?
Oh, I did. That's why I'm here telling it. And it's such a good lesson, too. It's like none of us can screw up bad enough that a miracle can't fix it.
Yep. That's really true.
You got one?
Isn't it?
And I want to invite you to call if you've got one.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I have a few of the more dramatic type. I'll just tell one of those. I was in South Africa. I had spoken at a conference there, and in Johannesburg, and they took us to the Kruger. They took all the speakers as a gift to the Kruger National the reserve, the game reserve.
Uh-huh.
And we were driving around, and we did see all these wonderful, amazing animals in the wild, which I had always wanted to do and to see.
Uh-huh.
But I noticed that it was springtime in their time, but you couldn't see any signs of spring. And one of the tour guides said, "Yeah, they'd had such a drought for so long that." The trees were not even budding out in the spring. They were just bare. And that some of the animals were starting to die. And this saddened me so much. When I got back to my cabin that I shared with another one of the speakers, we did a prayer together. I did the speaking for it, and I called for all of the cloud and the rain devas to come, and that we apologize that that humanity had not been kind to Earth, but that the rain was needed for all of the life, and to please come the next day and give this huge, you know, give a real rain that would wake up the land and restore it to life. And we actually left the next day. So I didn't hear anything for a while, but I came back through there on my way out a week or so later, and the woman that I had prayed with came and met me at the airport, and she told me that day that we had called for the rain, it came, and it had been the best rain in 4 years.
Wow.
And that everything was beautiful and green, and over the next year or two, she kept in touch and said that the rains had kept coming in a wonderful way, and that the land was really healthy and strong again. So it was just, and it was so interesting too, because the morning we left, and it looked exactly like all of the other days had looked. It was this kind of overcast a bit, but no sign of anything that could be called rain or a storm that looked like it was happening, you know.
Didn't look like rain, didn't smell like rain, didn't feel like rain.
Right, it didn't. And I've realized that, you know, we are all capable of calling for such miracles, and that the key to them seems to be that nothing in us is against it. Nothing. That every voice inside says, yes, okay, this is great. And when that happens, all of the self lines up, and there's just no way that miracle cannot happen. And I have noticed that other times when I've called on things, but not all of myself is aligned, something in me says, oh no, we can't have that, or we shouldn't have that, or you know, this or that, that then it gets undermined by those thoughts, which are often unconscious thoughts, or not very conscious thoughts. So it depends on really all of ourselves becoming aligned with what is really real, which is abundance of every good.
Yeah, and you know, you're touching on the Abraham teaching too, which is when you get into the feeling of having something, it must come to you. Like if you're in the feeling of ecstasy, you must have ecstatic experiences. You know, you must draw ecstatic experiences. I'll give you an example. Dawn, the beloved founder of BBS Radio and our producer and director and sound person, and when he was going to put us on the air, I asked him how he was, and he said, I am excellent. I feel excellent, and right now I'm one of the excellent feelers. And, you know, you're forecasting a lovely, lovely, lovely day when you do that.
That is true.
Yeah. And
wow.
You're forecasting lovely experiences, and you're inviting them, and you're willing to have miracles no matter what it looks like. If it looks like no rain is in sight.
Yeah.
If you've called for money and it looks like no way, the Lord works in mysterious ways.
It sure does.
Let me see if I got another miracle. I do have a miracle. I went to a friend's house, and she was having several people over, and she had just gotten two kittens. One was black and one was white. They were beautiful Persians. And the little boy, the little black one, was not eating, and she had taken him to the vet. They didn't know what was wrong with him. And he had a really hard stomach, and he hadn't eaten for about 3 days, so he was real dehydrated. And I just didn't want him to die. And she loved him so much. He was such a beautiful, sweet cat. And I I took him in the bedroom and I picked him up and I looked in his eyes and I said, I know who you are. You are the Christ. And I saw Jesus standing over him and I saw Jesus holding him in his hands. And I saw it. Then I had heard that a lot of kittens, if they've been raised in a puppy mill sort of thing, or any place where they didn't honor and take care of the mother and all of that, that they have these cords attached to that discord, and that it's very hard for them to thrive. And so I took a big crystal, and I could actually see the cords, and they just snapped and let go of him. And as they did, I was holding him in my hands, and his little belly became soft, and he ran in the kitchen and started to eat like a little pig.
Wow.
And everyone was like, whoa.
Yeah.
It was one of those things where you went, I didn't even see that. And so it's just, I called for a miracle, and I got it immediately. And those kind are really, really, you know, it makes it so you can't forget.
That's right.
It makes it so you can't forget. And I want to say it's a really good time to focus on all the times you've had miracles if you're in a tight place. And if you'd like to call in, and I do not know the call-in number. I apologize for that. It's like details really are not my department. I'm the bigger picture kind of person, so these things often escape my notice. But
the call number is right there if you're listening on internet. It's right there.
It is right there on your computer screen. So if you have a miracle you'd like to share, we'd love to hear from you. And do you got another one, Joanna?
This one was... I was following Spirit's guidance, my inner guidance, to move from Memphis to California. So I had a 10-year-old Volvo, an old Swedish car, and I had saved up $600 and just stashed the stuff that I really wanted in my car and took off. And I was driving with a friend and her son also in another car, so we were traveling together. And all of a sudden, driving along the freeway in Arkansas, everything just stopped dead. And I pulled over, and I opened up the hood like I knew what I was looking at.
I
could tell anything.
Myself doing that. It's such a scream.
Yeah.
Like you knew what to look
right.
for.
I mean, if the engine had fallen out, I would have noticed that, but otherwise... I wasn't much good. So I was standing there in puzzlement and thinking, you know, good Lord, I'm in Arkansas. This is a Swedish car, a 10-year-old Swedish car. What in the world is going to happen here? And just then, this big truck pulls over and stops behind my car, and the guy comes over and he says, so, well, what's wrong? And he looks and he immediately sees that the fan belt has snapped off, and I had just gotten one because the guy said I needed one, and of course he put on one that was too small, not of course, but he did, and it broke, and he said it broke off the generator pulley. Oh, the fan belt didn't break, it broke off the generator pulley off, and I didn't even know what that was. And he says, well, let me go look in my cab. So he goes and he comes back and he has this generator pulley. He says, I keep these for my wife's Ford. And he says, well, maybe it'll fit. And he puts it on, it doesn't fit. And so my heart is sinking again. He says, well, and he gets out a little file and he just scrapes and he scrapes.
MacGyver met you
on
the road.
Yeah, it is. And 10 minutes later, that thing was fixed. My car was running again. I was back on the road. And just the odds against that happening, you can imagine what they are.
The
you
Lord
know,
works in mysterious
it's
ways.
It's just amazing. It's just amazing.
I have one. I want to say you know, the Lord really did send you MacGyver.
Yeah,
in
really
the middle
did.
Of nowhere.
That's
to
right.
Pick something impossible to fit. That is a miracle. And those are so good for us to have under
yeah.
our belt, aren't they?
Yeah, they help us, they strengthen us in times of difficulty.
Yeah, and remind us all the times when we've been in that place where we go, oh, nothing could save me now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have one like that. I was, my car was in the shop, so I borrowed my son's car, which was new, and I had only driven a couple times. I borrowed his car to go do my radio show in San Francisco, and at that time I drove to San Francisco to do it. And I'm looking down at the gauges as I'm driving along, and I go, wow, it always has the same amount of gas every time I... And just then it ran out of gas. I'm on my way to the radio show. I don't have time for that kind of delay. And I go, okay, God, send a prince to help me with this. And I tried to visualize what that would be. And the best thing I could come up with was a CHP that had that little John Wayne thing going, and he comes up and goes, can I help you, little lady? I saw him with the gas can, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I said, okay, God, what do I need to do? And it was nothing. Help is on the way. And I went. And I'm I believe in trust Allah and tie up your camel too. So I said, even so, I'm going to get out and start walking to the nearest gas station. And so I had just gotten out of the car, was turning around to close the door, and Gerald, my husband, is driving by, who wouldn't have seen me unless I got out of the car, because he wasn't used to me being in this car either. Was a, you know, it was my son's new car. And so he saved me, took me to the gas station. I got there on time, and I got to share that miracle, mm-hmm. you know, on the air. Mm-hmm. And it really, what, doesn't God have a sense of humor?
Yeah.
I said, God, send a prince, and he sends the prince. I mean, what are the chances of that, do you
yeah.
think? And it was beyond my highest picture.
Wow.
It was beyond my highest picture. And I think that's where it's important when you ask God for something, you say, this or something better comes to me now. And but I didn't even think of that at that time. I was sort of in an emergency gasping.
Yeah. Huh. Oh, it's such a great story.
You got another one?
Wow. Oh, well, sure. This is you know, more, it's not so spectacular, but one of the things that I've worked with in my life a lot is feeling like money is wrong, you know, because I think I've had a bunch of past lives as nuns and you know, you're not supposed to have it and all of that stuff.
It's not holy and piyowa.
Right.
A lot of spiritual teachers have...
That's
really
right.
Had to work with that.
That's right.
And but I want you to look, I want everyone to look at what that is. It's really the sinister force trying to keep money and power and choice out of the hands of those who can do the most good.
Uh-huh.
It's really important for all of us who can do the most good to have the wherewithal to do it.
Yep.
It's very important. That wealth be in the hands of those who have the benefit of all life at heart.
Right. And of course, you know these things intellectually, but it's like learning them emotionally seems to be the biggest thing. And so I'd really been working with God because I had the appearances of lack going on and trying to... Spirit really told me that I needed to give up all of the old appearances, focuses and beliefs and really just give everything to God. And it said, you don't even have to focus on money, just focus on God. And so I started doing that, and I could feel how I had been kind of resistant to money coming in, resistance to allowing people to give to me and to my business and all of that, you know.
So I didn't hear all of that. Allowing what to give?
Even allowing people to give, know, allowing, just really allowing it to come in. And so I began to kind of feel what I think is a truth, that God and that life and people are really all one thing. And so I began to really open up to the goodness of people and the goodness of life and the goodness of God, and to feel vulnerable to it, and to trust that whatever would come from life would be good. And so I've had a couple of really wonderful experiences since then of things coming in great amounts, unexpectedly wonderful amounts that have really helped things along. And I'm still learning, because sometimes I'll look and I see that I've kind of closed down again, you know, but to really open up our hearts, and like you were saying earlier, turn our faces to the sun, you know, and really, really open up to the goodness of life, which is the natural way that it wants to be. And wherever we are, whatever condition we're in, whatever relationships we're in, if we just begin to do that privately with ourselves or with a friend, then it will begin to turn things around in wonderful, wonderful ways. So the focus and really feeling that focus is the key, I guess.
Well, just let's all do that for a minute. Let's just imagine that your life is, even if you can't imagine exactly what it would be like, or you don't know what you want, or that's not ever the truth. You do know what you want, but you know, a lot of us have kept ourselves from seeing it because there was a real deep, unexplored and unexamined feeling to just give up. It was no use to even look at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's been a lot of that, and a lot of people have really been programmed to, you know, don't be a pipe dreamer. Don't just, you know, put your nose to the grindstone and work and do just what your parents have done and all of that. So even if you think you don't know what you want, just imagine that your life is so great, so wonderful, so joyous. You are so free, so happy, so abundant with every good thing, that you throw back your head. There's a picture like this. It's of a little girl, and she's throwing back her head with her face turned to the sun and her hands outstretched, and it's just the whole feeling of it is to thank you, God, for everything. That draws to you ecstatic experiences. So let's just all take a moment and do that together. And that sort of brings me to the teaching of the Zero Limits and the Eckhart Tolle teachings, and the Praise, Love, and Gratitude from Annalise Guérin.
Yeah.
Is that when you see something that you don't want, you ask for forgiveness. The four steps are, please, I'm so sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. And what I get is I'm asking forgiveness for seeing it that way, for seeing it less than God perfection.
Mm-hmm.
And then that leaves space for a miracle to happen. You want to talk about that and what you've noticed in using that?
Well, I think you use that particular process more than I do, but it's a similar thing that in seeing something as limited or seeing a person or a situation as limited, we're really seeing falsely. We're seeing not with the truth, not with true eyes. So when we can change our own minds and then see a person as the Christ, you know, the anointed one of God, which is Jesus and Buddha and Muhammad and the other great spiritual leaders of the world, then we open up a miracle for them to happen, you know. It's like it makes it much easier to come forth for other people as well when we can see them that way. In fact, I've just been rereading a wonderful Catherine Ponder book called, I've got it right here, The Prospering Power of Love. It's a wonderful book. I'd really recommend it. Catherine Ponder, P-O-N-D-E-R.
Read all of her books,
oh,
by the way.
Oh, yeah, they're just so great, so great. And she tells this story about a woman who had a husband who was a DJ or was a popular radio announcer, and but he was also an alcoholic, and people would talk to her about that, saying, you know, that he needed to do this or that. And she said, oh, my husband is much too fine a man to be addicted to alcohol. He's going to overcome it. And he did. It's like she just absolutely refused to believe anything less of him than what was really possible and true for him. And the same thing when he was diagnosed with some kind of a cancer thing. She just refused to believe that it had any power. And she and her husband started to go to a prayer group, and his cancer disappeared. And so it's like when we hold those things, not only for ourselves, but for other people. Other people, we see them in a sad situation or a difficult place, or they seem to be overwhelmed or what. If we can see them as victorious, as the Christ, as whole and sound and happy and good in every way, then we really, really give a great service, because that is felt, you know. Again, the mind, it's all one mind. And so our seeing that in our own mind makes its way to that person and helps them to make different choices if they desire to do that.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's a great thing to see others as the Christ.
I want to tell another miracle that was was told to us by Reverend, how do you say her name, Andriette?
Andriette,
Reverend Andriette at the East Bay Church of Religious Science. It's at 41st and Telegraph. If you can make it there.
This is in Oakland. For
yes.
Bay Area people. Oakland,
California. The East Bay Church of Religious Science at 41st and Telegraph. And their website is really worth seeing, too. It says, dedicated to the transformation of spirituality on the whole planet. The entire planet.
Yeah.
And it's just a website worth seeing. But the Rev and Joanna and I went there last Sunday, and we went there at the prompting of my veterinarian. And he said to me, he told me about Reverend E, who is the founder of the church. And Reverend E is a 76-year-old woman of color who raised 7 children by herself. And while she was raising them, she worked nights as a nurse and put herself through ministerial school. And he said, anybody that can do that, anybody that can just raise seven children for me. He said, anybody that can do that, I'm interested in hearing what they have to say. So we go to this church, and it's so happy. Everyone is so happy. And you can tell how happy they are because the children are sort of, they walk up and down the aisles a lot and go to the bathroom and do different things the kids do during the service. It doesn't interrupt anyone. They don't try to get attention. They're interested in new adults, but they're not like vying for attention or anything. They're just happy. The children are happy. And I told Reverend Andriette after the service that I had stopped going to church when I was 13 because the churches I knew of, the way they taught about God, if that's how God was, I was having no part.
Mm-hmm.
So I really sought to find God in my own way, to serve God in my own way, to have fellowship in my own way as I was guided. But I really in my heart wanted a church like this. And I had asked for one a long time ago. And so we go in, and they're singing, let the sun shine, let the sun shine in. And it was just so inspiring, and I cried. And I told them that was the kind of church I had looked for, where there was no condemnation, where there was encouragement and support and love and acceptance of everyone as a divine being right where they are.
Yeah. And they really welcomed us with open arms.
Yes, they did. And we felt welcomed, and there's just so much love there, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
But
and happiness.
Yes, and happiness. I wanted you to share the story of the miracle story about her beloved that she shared.
Oh, well, Andriette told us about that her husband had had some kind of a stroke. And
a massive stroke.
Yeah.
Last year on May 9th.
Yeah, and that everyone had, you know, told her all of the things and the doctors and everything that was likely to happen and had been known to happen in the past and what the prognosis was and all of these things, and all of her family just chose to believe that except for her. She kind of went off, she said, by herself, and she just began to affirm that her husband was not at the he was not subject to all of these medical facts of the past, and that he was going to be able to get well, and get well a lot more quickly than what had been said, and that is exactly what happened for him. And she said, and one of the things they said was that he's going to change completely. And she said, well, he's already working with the Course in Miracles to learn how to be a teacher. He is changed already. He's changing already, so he's already going
to
be different.
Right.
And so he did come back into a much better health much more quickly than anyone had conceived possible. And so her way of seeing him really helped that to happen.
Wow, that really
is
a miracle, too.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah, got any more, Miss Joanna?
Well, I do have one more weather one.
Okay.
I seem to align up with weather pretty nicely. This is on the same trip of driving out from Memphis to California to move out there, and we ran into my friend Laura and I and her in her car, and me and mine, and we ran into this storm that just and began to rain, first rain and then sleet, and then the ice started to form on the roads, And so we stopped at this little diner, and people said, oh, you can't get any further, and all of this stuff, and it's this way forever. But then finally one person said, well, I think maybe you could get 50 miles. So that was enough. We just didn't want to stop. We just kind of started our journey. So we got back on the road, and it did look like that. It looked like it lasted for 1,000 miles, and it was going to last for days and days. And I remembered that in autobiography of a yogi that I had read by Yogananda, he said that God could change the weather. And I had met Babaji, the beautiful immortal master, who was very close to me through that book. And I looked up in the sky. Of course, Babaji and God is all around everywhere, but I looked up into the sky and I said, Babaji, you said God could change the weather, and we need it now! And I just, with all the passion of my being, and I just could not believe what happened next. It was within 5 seconds, I kid you not, within 5 seconds, the sky had cleared, the rain had stopped, the sun had come out, the road was drying in front of us, and we didn't have any more bad weather the whole rest of the trip. I have never, ever experienced anything like that in my life, really before or since, to be truthful. And it was just the most amazing miracle I could...
Babaji, change this weather and send all this rain to South Africa now, please.
Yeah, where it's needed, right, exactly.
Where they want it.
Yeah.
That's wonderful, Joanna. And
yes.
Knowing you, I know you do miracles on a routine basis. You've helped me turn so many things around, like... I've been nervous about doing parties or, groups at my house. Like, always felt sort of inadequate or that I didn't know how to do it, and I would get myself in a state and call you, and you would call the violet flame with me to transmute it, and then speak words of power about how I wanted it to be. And
uh-huh.
And I'll give an example. Like, I was really nervous because I was meeting some new people, and I didn't know how they'd mix with the other people I knew, and I was just I was nervous about the food, I was nervous about getting my house ready, all of those things, and you helped me, and I said, well, this is how I want it to be. I want everyone to just feel saturated with love when they come, everyone to just have a great time, everyone to just really share. And also, I ask for every gathering that we can be of divine service to all life in some way. And I ask that everything be beautiful and the food be delicious and everybody have a good time. And people told me that that was the most magical thing they had ever been to.
Mm.
That they had such a wonderful time, that it was... They tried to describe it to people. People didn't believe them. And it's just, I guess my message is always really, really ask for what you want. Really, really ask for what you truly want. And accept it.
Yes, accept it.
Tell people how they can reach you, Joanna.
Oh, okay. Well, I have a website myself, which is called Ascension Mastery International. It's ascensionmastery.com. And Ascension is spelled ASCENSION, mastery.com. And I have books and CDs, and you can also, there's a link to the Sacred Images site where there's wonderful, beautiful pictures of divine beings, of masters and angels and deities, uh-huh. of different traditions, and so yeah, that's there's articles, a bunch of articles on the site that are available to read, and you can kind of go from there. Yeah, so it's ascensionmastery.com. Thanks, Iris.
Thank you for being here, Joanna. Can you see the clock? Do you know how
much well, I think this one's a little fast, but I have about 3 minutes of.
About 3 minutes of. So
yeah.
We need to wind up here.
Yeah.
I want to just encourage you to live a life of miracles. Just ask for what you want.
Yeah.
And I would like to, for the first the first three people that email, I would like to give you a copy of Joanna's wonderful book, Living Mastery. And it has such wonderful things in it. And I just can't recommend it highly enough. So it's my email is miracles, miracleshp at yahoo.com. And if you've already received books, that's fine. That's fine. You can, you are invited to win every week if we have something to give away. I mean, really.
Yeah.
If you wanted the first three and I have the book, you will get it. So don't be embarrassed. Go ahead and ask for what you want. And I just, what would you give people if you had one gift to give them, Joanna?
Well, I think it would be to welcome the feeling of what is wanted, that to not think of it as out there or as being tomorrow instead of today or next week or next year, but to give ourselves the feeling of what we really want as being right here and right now. And in God, then it is right here and right now. And it may take a little time to manifest through the physical, or it may not. So it depends on really, I guess, how passionately we call and how much we are aligned for something and how much we believe we can have it and all of those things. But just the feeling of having what we want is like, in itself, is such a wonderful gift that it's worth it all by itself.
Yeah.
And then it does act like a magnet to bring whatever that is to us and to also see ourselves and everyone else as whole.
Yeah, and you know, what I found is the real work is, if I have some kind of a challenge of some kind and it looks like it couldn't turn out, it's like to get in. We went over our time. I'm sorry. Thank you for being here. And to everyone, everywhere, forever, may all your dreams come true and be 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible.
Absolutely.
Amen, amen, women, and yee-haw!